With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, thank you for tuning in to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Please do rate, review, subscribe, like, all that fun stuff. Be my Kyle Lowry, all right? Help me get paid. Today, joining me is Asad. He was actually at the first preseason game last night. Bro, how's it going?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Doing good. How did it feel to be back at Scotia?
Oh, it was amazing. It was, you know, you see same faces kind of around the stadium. It's good to see. It was just like, it felt like a homecoming for everybody. So it was a good time. It did take a bit longer to kind of get in, you know, with all the vaccine stuff, which I think kind of showed. I think early on there wasn't much of a crowd just because I think early start, it was 7 o'clock start. They actually started closer to 7 than they did 7:30 for once. So
strange.
Pretty surprising from the Raptors, but, you know, got in there. It was good. Little preseason vibe. It was a fun time. But it felt good. It felt good. It felt good finally being back in Scotiabank.
That's great to hear. And they did pull off the W. I mean, there was a lot of people who were not in this game. No Joel Embiid, no Tobias Harris, Pascal, Chris Boucher, who is now, as we learned, is going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks with a finger issue. So that's obviously very relevant. But let's focus on the players who did play, because there's a lot of decisions that have to be made on the Raptor side of things. There's a lot of roster spots available. And also we want to see Scotty. So let's start with Scotty. What were your first impressions of Scotty? Because you got the full experience from him right from pregame, actually.
Scotty is like a toddler on a sugar rush. Like, he is just like shot out of a cannon. He's got like his legs just fired. He can't stand still for a single moment, even on defense. He's just like he's like twitching while he's guarding the guy. He's just like ready to go. I haven't seen someone so excited to be out there and just like this giant ball of energy that he was. And then the basketball was just like beautiful to watch. He's ripping boards, pushing up in transition, hitting passes. There were like legitimately I think it was the first 3 minutes of the second quarter where I think it was Scotty and Delano, but more or less Scotty just like put his imprint on the game where he was like, all right, I'm going to get stop here on defense. And especially just seeing, I think, his length in how Nick Nurse kind of wants to employ the defense. He said that Nick Nurse had mentioned that he wanted to use a lot of zone this year. There's going to be a fair bit of zone used. Yep. And there were a couple of looks there where it was like Scotty and OG at the top of the zone, which is just absolutely terrifying. I think, you know, first impression of Scotty, like you see some guy with so much length. And then to be able to push the ball and be able to get off the ball quickly. I don't think there was ever really a moment in the game where it felt like Scotty was like pounding the ball a little bit too long or looking for something too long. It was decisive. He was pretty quick with what he wanted to do, and he was getting the ball off his hand pretty quickly. So just all around, like, it was just a pleasure to watch Scotty go.
It's going to be a really fun season just watching him, because I think, Iman and I talked about this the other day, is that he's so effective just at being a basketball player. Like, he's so heady and he's so smart, and he just really embraces a lot of the little things that probably other players may not. And his physical tools are ridiculous. Like, we think about that dunk that he had over Danny Green. And also there was a play with Tybal, a great defender, right? And Scotty just like, he towers over both of them. And those are two like very good basketball players that they just can't compete with his size. And I think we're going to see a lot of that this season, that there are dudes who are going to be being guarded by Scotty Barnes, because probably taller players, more athletic players, better defenders are going to be on OG or Pascal. And Scotty's going to be like, if you want me to get 4 or 5 offensive rebounds, I can do that for you, because he's so big.
Yeah.
He's just so big.
And there was a play late in the fourth quarter that really kind of exemplified kind of what Scotty is as a player, where, you know, he's setting up at the top of the key. He like was reading, I think, like it was a pick and roll, and I think both guys switched up, and he's trying to slide a pass into the baseline, and it got picked off, and they come the other way. Drummond's getting the layup or something, and Scotty boxes him out, gets the rebound, and just slits out a screen. So it was like he was mad at himself for the turnover. He came back, played the defense, got the board over the big, and then just like settled down again, which is one of the things where I think like the fact that like you just have a guy that big who's playing 94 feet, like both ends of the baseline. And also just like throughout the game, one of the biggest things was, and Nick Nurse has mentioned this, is one of the reasons why we got to it later, why Malachi didn't really play much, is Nick Nurse really wanted to see what Delano, Scotty, and Svi could do pushing the ball, playing de facto point guard. And one of the biggest things that we need to see from Scotty is, can he handle some ball pressure? Can he, you know, be secure with the ball? I think all of Scotty's turnovers were passing turnovers, if anything. So like him being able to control his dribble and not have it just stolen away from him as a big is really important, because the guards are going to get under him. And him being able to take that pressure was like really, really good to see.
There was a moment that I saw where he was bringing the ball up and he got some pressure and he kind of like stopped a little bit and he was kind of going like one-on-one for a moment. And as they're coming back from a TV timeout, you saw Freddie, I think he was talking to Scotty about that particular play, because Scotty did like a spin and Fred was kind of mimicking it. So it's like, those are kind of unconventional things that you don't really see players do when they kind of like stop behind the half court line, because he was getting some pressure. And he's just like, okay, so what am I going to do here? And these are all part of the learnings for him, but it was interesting to see the amount of guys who brought the ball up. And this is part of the methodology of what Nick and Masai and Bob want to do, is whoever has the ball should just go. It doesn't matter who it is. If it's Utah, if it's Precious, which we saw Precious do that a little bit, and we're going to get into it in a second. Whoever has the ball, just bring it up, get it past half court, and make that first pass. And the playmaking, having guys who can kind of make that first pass in a responsible manner, a reasonable way, and not turn it over. I mean, they had 25 turnovers today, so obviously this is going to be a process. But it's interesting to see kind of this all kind of come to fruition. It started in summer league, and now we're seeing the next level with it in preseason games. On Scotty, there was a stretch that was very interesting to me, and it was at the beginning of the third quarter. So we're talking a 4-minute stretch from the 12-minute mark to the 8-minute mark. And just listen to the things that he did back to back to back. All right. So OG Anunoby, he has a miss. Scotty gets the offensive rebound. Achiuwa, he forces a turnover. Fred finds Scotty running in transition for an alley-oop. It was a layup. Fred said post-game that this should have been a dunk, but he realizes that he's probably getting a little bit tired. So it is what it is. Freddie doubles Drummond in the post, because obviously he was causing a lot of issues for Achiuwa. And then Scotty gets out to the three-point line to contest a shot. And then 76ers out in transition. Raptors are scrambling a little bit. Scotty gets out to the three-point line, blocks a shot. And then after that, he gets another offensive rebound, one of four on the night, to draw another foul. So that's like 5, 6, 7 plays, whatever it is, within a 4-minute stretch of NBA time. He did all of this. And it's a lot of this stuff isn't always going to show up on the scoreboard, but it's just him being such a presence on the court. He has such a presence when he's playing basketball, because as we talked about, those physical attributes that he has, you can't teach it. You really can't.
It's one of those things, and we saw it a bit in preseason, that come from behind when they had against the, I think, was it the Hornets, or I forget which summer team league? That choked away. Yeah, summer league. And we saw it there too, where like Scotty just kind of goes in this mode where it'll be like 4 to 5 minutes in a row, and you're like, Scotty's been every single possession. Like in some way or form, he's like affected every single possession in the game. Yeah. And that's like an incredible ability that he has. And I think that's going to be one of the things that's going to make him stand out as a rookie, especially since realistically on this team, he's going to be a role player for the time being. And that's where, you know, you make those star role player moves at the time is. But I don't want to box him into being a role player, because he did some pretty awesome things. Also, just before we finish the Scotty Barnes section, I just want to shout out Danny Green one more time. Great friend of the Raptors, always making our players look great ever since he's left. He's been a great Raptor his entire career. He let Scotty get a couple of dunks off on him. It's beautiful.
It was very, very nice of him. He keeps on giving to us, doesn't he? After the game, there were a few photos on Getty of Scotty and Danny talking, and I bet you they were talking about that dunk, because Scotty unleashed that out of nowhere on Danny. Danny's like, what is this? He's still not getting his championship ring. He's going to wait until there is a full house of Scotiabank. Man, this guy loves Toronto. God love him. Let's move on to Delano. All right, he had a really impressive game. He was probably one of the talks of the town after that, because, you know, being a late second round pick, you're not really sure what you're going to get. The Rexdale connection, obviously, you know, shot at Rexdale. Your thoughts on Delano last night?
He was awesome. There was, I think in the summer league action that we saw with Delano was like a lot more hesitancy. I don't think he was playing as fast. And I think Nick Nurse talked about it after the game. One of the biggest things that they saw with Delano was that he's just playing a lot faster. They've gotten on him. Like Earl Watson was talking to him to play faster. And we saw that as soon as he was catching, he was gone in transition off the board. And that's one of the things. I think the lineup that they played was him, Utah, Scotty, Svi,
second quarter, right?
And Precious, I think, or I forget who the fifth was, but it was all these 6'9 dudes, which is the 5'6'9 guy lineup that we've kind of been wanting to see in a different mold. And it was just like length and numbers. Like you had like everybody zoned up, get the board and kick it and go. And you had three or four playmakers, and Delano, like that initial him pushing the ball out, his downhill speed is a lot more impressive than I think when you go side to side. His downhill passing is also very impressive. He throws some bullets. But there was a stretch near the end of the, like, I think in the first quarter, with 3 minutes left in the first quarter, Ben, like, not only just offensively, but defensively, he switched defensively, got a rebound, pushed in transition, found Sweet for a dunk. There was the end of the first, and then there was another in, I think, the second quarter, where he just guarded Tyrese Maxey at the point of attack, which I think for his size, like, he's going to be a 6'9", but he's playing point guard, 6'7", 6'8", point guard. Yeah. It's going to be important if he can guard these like young fast guards. He stayed step for step with Maxey twice in that game and both times completely snuffed him out. And then they went back the other way. It was really interesting to see. I'm personally really excited for Delano. I think he can add a lot of juice as like a second or third string point guard in the future, especially, but just being able to see all that size out there at once was like, just like, it was special. It was crazy, like, holy crap. Right? Like I'm watching a different type of basketball right now.
And there's going to be a transition period for other teams too, because they're not going to be necessarily used to this either. When you have a bunch of 6'8", 6'9" guys, normally there's a few in there who are your weaker links or a little bit slower, who don't have the jumping ability, but you're not really finding that with a lot of these Raptor guys. Like they're all fast. They're all agile. They can all move side to side. Like defense for them to some degree is going to be a little bit easier because you're just switching everything. And in that zone, you mentioned that possession where Delano was going step for step with Maxey. Like you had Justin Champagne coming in right behind him for help. And then just off that, boom, the ball is down the court for Scotty Barnes layup. Like it's happening very, very fast. And for Maxey in that position, there's nowhere for him to go other than go one-on-one. And you're just like, all right, well, you want to go one-on-one with our 6'9 dude. You're not that big. Let's see how you do. And it didn't go well for him. This defense is going to be really interesting to see this year. I'm very, very intrigued. And I think the NBA is going to have some issues at times. So not all teams, right? Not all teams are built the same, but some teams are going to find it very tricky to score on the Raptors.
Oh, 100%.
Anything else on Delano, or is that kind of it? Only other thing I was going to mention is that, as you mentioned, with that full steam ahead, he is playing much, much faster. Sometimes with that, he's making some interesting decisions. There was a case in the fourth quarter where he was going full steam ahead, right? And he threw a laser beam right to a 76er. And that's okay, right? It's part of the process. But I appreciate him taking the guidance of an Earl Watson, who's such a great acquisition for the Raptors. I love them bringing in more and more guys who are recently retired or not that far away from removed from the game. I saw Wesley Johnson on the bench during summer league. That was kind of cool. I was like, oh, Wesley Johnson, I didn't know you were doing this. That's interesting. But more guys like that are going to help the Raptors and all these guys transition and just kind of make these incremental steps in their games a little bit faster. Anything else on Delano, or is that kind of it?
That's more or less.
Let's switch to Utah. Another guy who had a really great game. He has spoken in preseason or early on during a media day that he wanted to be more aggressive, that he needed to make his presence felt on the offensive end. And he did that. He had 10 points. He was third in plus minus with 17, Scotty obviously being the top part of that with 19. Your thoughts on Utah and what he did last night?
I just think Utah needs to like have a guaranteed deal as of like yesterday. Like that guy is 100% needs to make the roster. I have never seen a player play that hard in a preseason game ever in my life. Utah was everywhere. Like Utah was going crazy. There was a play in the first quarter, I think with 2:10 left in the quarter or so, where Delano got beat off the dribble at the wing, and Utah just like flies out of nowhere and just snuffs out the drive. And then that ended up going for a Ben layup the other way. I think that was his first bucket from that play. And then late in the third or fourth quarter, Utah, same thing. completely snuffed out transition player, just hustling back, coming out of nowhere, stealing the ball, fighting for the ball on the floor. Like, doing this in preseason is insane, like, for him risking injury. But we saw a lot of good out of Utah, not just defensively, but offensively. Like, he was willing to shoot that three ball right away. There's no hesitancy with him there, and he's hitting them. It looks clean. I think we all saw, even like last year, and I think going back, many teams have said this, like, Utah can definitely shoot the ball. It's just, will he shoot the ball? So if, like, he's fully bought into that role and, like, he, that hesitancy's gone, he's just such a skilled player and such a good defender. I have no problem with him being, like, one of the main dudes off the bench. I'm actually very excited for the bench lineup that's going to be at some point, some combination of Utah, Scotty, Malachi. Maybe Delano gets thrown in there potentially, depending on what, like, what your injury status is and whatnot. But Utah just, and he's such a good cutter. Like, there were multiple times where Delano and Scotty were bringing the ball up, whatever, forcing the double. And I think even Fred driving in, and Utah's just cutting into the open lane. Constantly. Yeah,
there was a play early on in the first quarter too, just like that, that's what it was. He had an open three and Fred didn't find it, but then Fred was in the paint doing his spinning thing. And then there's Utah ready for, so give me the pass. I'll get the layup. I'll help you out. No worries.
Yeah. And it's like adding a player like that to, like, your core roster, who's like, can play on the fly, plays unselfishly, and just does everything. Like, he's clearly a very smart player on the floor. I'm very high on Utah Watanabe. I can't wait for him to be on the team. I just need them to guarantee him, like, right away.
It almost kind of happened last night, because Nick said he's certainly in the rotation right now. That's not like, is he going to make the team or not? He's saying, no, he's going to get minutes night in, night out. There isn't much to say really about Utah. He's doing everything that he did last season on the defensive end, but now he's adding a little bit more confidence on the offensive side of things. There was a three late in that, I think it was in the fourth quarter, that he took a pass from Malachi. He made a few quick shuffles right, and he was ready to shoot. It was a bit deeper than the actual three-point line, maybe like 27 feet or something like that, but he hit it. Right. And another play that stuck out to me was early in the second quarter. He gets a rebound. He is going down the court. He drives. He takes a bump. He finds V for a three.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
These are great things to see from him. And he kind of reminds me of Lamar Odom a little bit in the way that, in his, like, his body structure and the way he dribbles. Also his jumper actually is a little bit like Lamar Odom's too. Any comparison to the player that Lamar Odom was is a very good thing.
I don't think I go that far, just because they're both lefties, which is true. I do think Lamar was very much an ISO, like, star. He was a star.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely, like, I know William Liu, shout out to him, made a slight comparison to this last year, but similar to what Pascal was on those bench units a couple of years ago, It's similar to what Utah brings. It's just a lot of energy, a lot of defense, a lot of switchability, and a lot of length. Utah, obviously a better shooter, but his ability to get on the board and kind of switch everything, and he has the same type of length that Pascal does, that's kind of actually what I see his role being. He's like a bench Pascal, more or less. And it's actually very interesting, like, what Utah's able to do. It's just so much energy. I'm very excited for him and that bench unit, because I think it's just going to be, and we saw a lot of it. Like, if people want to know what our bench unit is going to look like, regardless of who makes up the unit, the core strategy is going to be like, we're going to play defense, we're going to get a stop, and then we're running. And it's just going to be a lot of stop and run. So if you want to know how this could be, like, the high end would be 2018 with that bench mob. That's kind of, I think, what we're going to see this year. And I'm really excited to see that.
that second quarter is where the Raptors kind of opened things up. And that bench unit that we're talking about, they won at 39-29. It was mostly them who kind of stretched that lead out. And a lot of it started with Yuta, because he got on the court and he was pedal to the metal, and he kind of got the energy up. And from then on, they just kept on rolling. So a great game from him. I mean, he's not guaranteed to make the roster, but he's making the roster. All you had to see was what he did last night, and also Nick saying that he's in the rotation. Like, he's going to make it. So let's move on to Precious now, who, again, had a very interesting game. He showed us some things that we weren't really sure that he had exactly. He showed an ability to dribble down the court a little bit. He showed us that he can actually hit a step back three, which I was like, whoa, he didn't even shoot one last year. And now he's hitting a step back three. He did air ball a shot from the free throw line. So this is still a process, but he also made a bank shot dribbling down the court. I mean, that's a bit of a transition shot. Those are a little bit tougher than just your standstill. So Precious, again, what are your feelings on what he did?
I think like Precious offensively, like, him hitting shots is just like a complete plus. I'm not going to count on that for the season. Like, we'll see how it goes. It's definitely a growth area. But to see that, like, there's at least something there that he can grow into, and maybe not this year, but next year or the year before, he can build that shot up, especially straight away. It seemed like he can really line up the shot straight, at least. So that was really cool. I think the most interesting thing was being able to see the Raptors just inbound to him. Like, the Raptors many times was like, Philadelphia was pressing up on the guard, so they would just inbound to Precious at like near half court, and Precious would dribble the ball up. Like, he seemed very comfortable taking 3, 4, 5 dribbles. One play, I think standout play, was him going coast to coast and then finishing on Drummond, right? So Precious, his ball handling, I think, is probably the most usable skill compared to, you know, last season. You know, it all leaves scars what our bigs are doing. So it's going to be the fact that he can kind of juice the offense. Like, when you throw it to the big to break the press, like, the fact that he can kind of keep that speed going and that pace with his dribble is, it stands out. Also, defensively, I don't know how good Precious is, but even though he did get lost a few times, his athleticism lets him recover like incredible. I think there was one play in the first quarter or so, I think 7 to 6 minute mark, where He was the back end of the zone. I think he kind of got lost for a second, and then he makes this recovery to get this big block on Drummond, or I forget who the player was at the bottom, but it's just like, wow. Like, that was just a show of athleticism that I don't think we've had at the big man spot for a while. He's not the same as, say, like a Bismack or something like that, but in terms of like the energy that he brings and like the athleticism component, I think we've been missing that for a while. And I do like that we got to see that with Precious.
That play was very interesting to me too, because he made the block and then he led the break, and he was dribbling down the court and he found Dragic for an open shot. He missed it. But how many times have we seen a Raptor big do something like that, where they block it and now they're heading down there and he actually made a decent pass and he found Dragic. Again, he missed it, but that's interesting things to see. I feel bad for him a little bit, because he had to guard Andre Drummond, and like, Andre Drummond is like 280 pounds. And Achiuwa is clearly not. And even like the Raptors, like Ken Burch is like 230. So we got a little bit of a dose of how some of this stuff is going to go. Like, Fred was very aggressive in doubling Drummond at multiple times, and it had mixed results, but Drummond had a great game. I'm curious how the Raptors are going to handle some of these matchups going forward. It's going to help having your starters, right? OG on there, Pascal on there. That's a big difference maker, but that's going to be something where, if you're looking at a weakness of the Raptors defense, it's probably going to be that. But that, again, that's by design, because that's the way they want to play.
Yeah. And historically, like, the way that we've guarded like the Joel Embiids and the big men of the world is you have like your guards digging down, you have lots of help coming from lots of different directions. And I think that's why like this roster is really going to perform a little bit better. Cause even though you're man to man on a big isn't going to be the same, the fact that you have that much length in all the passing lanes is going to skew up all of those. So like, when a big man has to pass out of the double, you now have to account for 3, 6, 9 dudes just like throwing their limbs into those passing lanes and obscuring their vision. So that's going to be, I think, the overall size. And I think you mentioned this in your preview pods with Yasmin and Iman as well, was the Raptors may not have gotten like bigger in terms of like the tallest guy on the team isn't any taller than last year, but across the board, I think their average height is a lot taller. They can put like four dudes out there that have a lot of length and a lot of height and a lot of mobility. So it's just a lot to see. It's just exciting to see that type of athleticism out there.
Yeah, man, it's really, really cool. Shout out Fred VanVleet, because he's usually that guy who is digging and on a Joel Embiid and getting those blocks, even though they should be steals. I hope those are all steals this year. He made a floater in the first quarter, and I swear to God, they could have just ended the game right there and everyone would have went home happy, right? And it was a tough floater too. So it seems like that is part of his arsenal this year. And that alone is reason for us to be very excited about what's to come for him. Let's switch to OG Anunoby. Very, very quick on him, because he, I mean, 21 points, 7 of 12 shooting, 3 threes. The composure was awesome. His jumper looked really good. There was a lot of arc on it. He was following through really nicely. He had a pull-up three. He ran some pick and roll with Fred, and he had this like hop step that he hit for a layup that was very intriguing. It's all kind of coming together for him in small ways. You know, we're seeing that those things that he's working on in the offseason, he's trying it. He's getting opportunity to mess up a little bit. He is messing up, and that's okay. But there is something being built here with him, and I'm excited to see how those first 20 games go with Pascal out and also now also Chris Boucher. OG and Anunoby is going to get all the shots he wants.
Yeah. What's wild is watching the game, like, you didn't even notice that OG scored 21 points. And then it's like, oh, he got 21 points on 7 of 12 shooting. He was like crazy efficient. I'm like, really? Because, like, it just didn't even notice it. One thing I would, like, it was clear that he just wanted to, like, lab out his mid-range stuff. Because there were times where, like, there was, I think, 3 possessions in a row where the defender was, like, pressed up on him, giving him the drive. And OG's like, no, I want to try this mid-range shot out. Let me, exactly. It's like, you're just forcing it. But, I think once we get to the regular season, he's going to make the right play and keep moving. But it's just encouraging to see. He seemed a little bit more mobile, a little bit more determined in the things that he wanted to do. I think the biggest thing to see when the season does come around is while Pascal's out is how quick his decision-making is now being like that, the initiator on offense, right? When he gets the ball in the post, how quick is he making that decision to go? I think we saw a little bit of hesitancy in the preseason, just trying to figure out what it is. But that's going to be the biggest thing to kind of look out for with OG is how quick can he catch the ball and just go.
That happened in the first quarter too. There was a case I recall where he's dribbling down the court. Fred's along the baseline waiting for the pass. He's like right here. And OG took 1-2 dribbles too much. And then when he made the pass, a hand got in there. All of a sudden it's no dice. And Fred's just like I was here. Like, just pass it. I'm a pretty good 3-point shooter. Yeah. Chances are I'm going to make it. Just hand it over here. But maybe OG's just like trying stuff out. As we're talking about, he clearly is favoring the jumper at the moment. And he's not really playing the defense that we're used to. He's playing defense. He's playing defense, but not as aggressively as we know he is, because he doesn't really have a lot of flaws when it comes to defense. So
that'll at the end of the day in the preseason, it's like you could tell Fred and OG were going at maybe like 50% speed yesterday. Yeah, they were just kind of trying to get through the game. So.
Yeah, and that's okay. They can do that. Other guys, not so much. Let's move on to another guy that, it's been kind of actually pretty impressive in that first game. So Svi Mihailuk, he was great. He showed me for sure some things that I didn't know he had in his arsenal. And one of those biggest things is that he is quicker than I thought.
Yeah, the first time I saw Svi was when he was playing on the Lakers, like summer league team, like his rookie or whatever. And I'm like, oh yeah, look at this guy. There's like this, like, you know, this like bootleg Klay Thompson type dude. But I was surprised. And I went to the game with my sister and she was surprised. She's like, who's this guy making these passes? Svi made like 2 or 3 passes at the top of the key at running the pick and roll, which I did not know he had in his game. I personally, honestly thought he was just a scorer, a shooter. Even at that, like, kind of mixed bag with his shooting. He's had good seasons, bad seasons, but he showed a lot of like just on ball skill. And Nick was talking about, Nick mentioned that he was like, he said, I wanted to see Scotty Delano and see what Svi could do running the point, running the offense. And I was surprised that was something they looked at with Svi. Nick even mentioned that he's always thought Svi was really good. And honestly, I came out surprised. I didn't think he was going to be much more than just kind of a spot shooter, but it seems like he's got a lot of other secondary skills that are really helpful in a team environment. Could he potentially become like a Bogdan Bogdanovic type, a Joe Ingles type, where, you know, you have him kind of just like, yeah, he's a spot shooter, but he's also making these quick reads, quick passes, and just using his size. He doesn't have a whole lot of like wingspan length. Like, he's probably got the worst wingspan of the 6'9" crew, but he didn't seem like too much of a defensive liability against preseason. So you don't know, but with him, it's just going to come down to is like, all right, is he okay enough on defense that you can get the offensive stuff out of him? But he didn't seem to be, at no point did it seem like he was on the ball for too long either, which is always great. Like that lineup with Svi, Delano, Scotty out there, the ball was zipping around, which is really all you want to see. So I was shocked. I didn't think he was going to get any minutes, but he might end up being a guy who gets a fair bit of minutes with the bench.
Yeah, no question. It was interesting seeing him and also Dragic. They were both guys who were kind of curling off a lot of screens, and both of them are very good on their edges. And that's it's a great way just to kind of get the offense moving. And Isvi is indeed this great passer, and has got those like pretty long strides. He can get to the rim like that. There was a play, he took a pass from Delano, actually. I think it was one of the first plays that Delano made. He's dribbled on the court. He made a really nice pass to Savi, and then he just went in for a nice layup, and he showed a bit of the strides like I'm talking about. They were longer and faster than I thought he could really do. And he was hanging in the air for just a second, which maybe you didn't see it. I saw it. I'm like, okay, so he's hanging up there. He's doing it. That's pretty. So that's very good. And the passing that you mentioned, there was a possession where he did back-to-back no-look passes in the third quarter. I was like, okay, so this is who you are. Okay, you're a no-look passer, and it's fun that they're going to have a player like him who can probably impact the game in a really fast manner. You know, like they wanted Matt Thomas to kind of be that guy, and Matt didn't have like the downhill speed, I don't think, when you know, teams are able to see that, okay, so this guy's a three-point shooter and we just have to get up on him. And then he didn't have any counters, right? And Svi seems like he might be the guy who has a little bit of that.
At the minimum, Svi, just because he's bigger, he can at worst case just shoot over his defender if he needs to. Matt was never able to do that. Matt constantly needed to create shot room, and most of the time that room would be gone before he'd be able to get the shot up. So that is what it is. That's the path. The one thing I want to just say in like summation on the bench, the best thing I saw out of preseason was that there was clearly, like, looking at the team, I was like, man, if they trade Dragic, like, you kind of have like a hole in that second lineup. But it's very clear that, you know what, Dragic very much is a stopgap, because like if Delano becomes a player he can be, if Svi can become something, if Utah continues to grow, like the future really on that bench is like we're gonna have 3-6-9 guys who are running point and running around beside Malachi, because there was so much playmaking and size amongst those guys. It got to a point where I'm like, I would rather see this than see, you know, a dual point guard lineup on the bench. So
I agree.
It was just exciting. I think it's an exciting time to be a Raptor fan, especially going forward. We got this 3-year period where you've got your core locked in of your older guys who you can kind of count on and are known commodities. And then you got all these young, long, athletic dudes who are just doing amazing things on the court. And like, you know, some days it's going to be really bad. Shooting with that bench unit is probably going to be tough. I'm sure that when other teams zone us back after we zone them so much, we're going to have some ugly possessions. But there's going to be a lot of transition this season, especially transition offense, and it's going to lead to a lot of fun. And I think Scotiabank Arena is going to be rocking. Like, I will tell you, there was one moment where Scotty hit a no-look pass to the baseline, and I think all of Scotiabank Arena just exploded, because it was incredible. I was out of my seat. Like, I almost fell over the ledge. It was pretty crazy. So it's going to be a fun time. I know the fans are ready to watch.
Indeed we are. So that's going to wrap it up for this podcast. We will be back in a couple of days to, probably do some expectations for the season, maybe some predictions. Be back with a few other people. So Asad, thank you for joining me, and we'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.